All right, guys, welcome back to a new episode of Hang with Wang. I actually didn't even plan this episode. My good friend came by and we were doing a, an EcoCast?
EcoCast, yeah.
So an EcoCast audition is basically you just film it on your own. You don't have to go to the studio. And while I was helping him with that, I was just like, dude, let's record a podcast. Because interesting enough, the reason I played that song is at the end of last year, me and this dude got lead roles for a national commercial. We did sign NDAs, but let's just say it was a tasty fruit. It was pretty insane because, I mean, that was a really big audition. It was, you know, for one of the world's biggest companies. And they only picked three lead roles, which was me, Jay, and shout out to my homegirl, Farah.
Oh, yeah. Shout out.
Which she got FaceTime between all three of us. And if you get FaceTime on a commercial, you just get a major bump in pay, especially for how big this project was. So shout out to her because you didn't get FaceTime, right?
You know, I got back time.
You got, and I got downgrade time. Like, they're like, here's some money, you suck. You know, like,
I think they
used my leg. So the crazy thing about these commercials is you still get paid this, like, pretty ridiculous amount of money to basically chill. I mean, what do we do? Tell them what we did week straight.
I love this because every day it was like holiday.
It was like a vacation for a week.
You got there early. They have food trucks waiting for you with the best food.
The best food. I mean, this is something you would like Instagram on a Friday night. Like,
right.
I mean, and the reason I play that song is I would go pick up Jay and we were so hyped because we just booked one of the biggest commercials of our lives and we would just play this fucking song on the way to the studio because the studios actually was called Thunder Studios. So, I mean, this was our little anthem and we would just pull up. And God, it was so crazy that they did not want anyone revealing anything, that they put an electronic fortress.
Oh, yeah.
Like a fake fucking Tron prism that if you were to like, yeah, maybe they were lying, but they said that if someone were to like tag or post anything, that they could find out who did, right?
Like it'd make you paranoid that just saying the word over your phone lines that they'd find out. So.
Yeah. So like, even I was talking to my dad, it was a fucking drug deal. Like, what's it, the company? I was like, I can't say it, Dad, over the phone.
Smuggler's Blue.
Cause I have the phone, AKA like, here's a hint. I used the phone. So like, you know, like I was just paranoid that if I were to reveal it, even to like someone off the chance that my phone is fucking tapped. Just because it's the company that makes this phone.
You would have agents show up at your door. Excuse me, Mr. Wang, we're going to need that money back.
One girl got kicked off set because she actually, when you're doing like these big companies, you can't do like, let's say there's a cell phone company. You can't do a competitor cell phone company. And she had lied. She had lied, right?
She did. Yeah. I mean, she was doing like a Samsung, had been in a Samsung commercial.
And they fucking found out. That's how creepy it was. Like she like they did some research and they kicked her out mid set. She was so pissed.
The audition story for me was very interesting because I went in and there was like tons of people. But the group I came in with also had now I can't even think of her name.
Farah. Okay.
In the group of five that I had, and we all had to tell a story about, I don't even remember what our stories were about, but it's a moment in our history. So we get done with everybody saying their stories, and then the one guy at the end, one of the casting directors walks up to the guy on the end and says, hey, you were at my wedding. And I thought, well, that's it. I'm not getting cast. This guy's already for sure casted. And he didn't get casted.
I think it would be too obvious.
Yeah.
That, like, if he got it, that's the homie. How many callbacks did you have for that?
Gosh, I don't even remember.
I think mine was three. Yeah, so what happens at these auditions, they line people up, and then they ask a general question, like, what's your greatest accomplishment? And you're sitting there like a fucking bunch of preschoolers, like, in a row, like, trying to outdo the others. I mean, like, you know, one guy went to, you know, he met his long lost brother. The other girl got her PhD. The other girl gave birth to two children. And I just went into this sob story about, like, getting over my mom's cancer. And I think, like, the room went somber. And I remember leaving. You know when you feel like you bombed? You just feel like shit that walked to the car. You're like, right. Fuck, I'm, like, kicking rocks. I was so mad. And then one of the casting directors pulled me to the side and was like, that was very brave. We all appreciated that. And then I was like, wow, you know, and that kind of threw me off guard. And then next thing you know, 3 days later, I get a call from my agent. You know, we booked the secret commercial. We didn't know what it was till we got there. And then we were just like, holy shit. Like, this was big.
Yeah, because that's the thing is they'll always make, they'll have a different name for the project. So we had no idea. I had no idea what we were shooting for like several days. I think even like after we got there, right? We still didn't know. We didn't know.
So for like, we were basically on set for like 3 days in a like holding camp.
Yeah.
And no one knew shit.
Right.
Yeah. It was just like, you guys stay here. And we were just getting pampered. I mean, I think I pretty much was used. I worked maybe 1 hour out of those 7 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we were just eating, sleeping,
eggs Benedict for breakfast, steak,
filet mignon for fucking lunch. I was so, I wish I could just go back right now and like eat that food that we had. It was like the best fucking food.
Oh, yeah.
And it was unlimited too.
All day.
You could literally have seconds. They'd be like, sure, take more. And you would grab a plate for home. I think that's one of the coolest things, man, about like in this entertainment business. That's one of the best perks.
Oh, yeah. Catering, if you're on the right sets. I've been on some where they're like, here's some sandwiches we made from home. Enjoy. Or if you even get that, you know.
I got someone mad because I guess they had bought it. But I was like, oh, you guys made this? And they're like, no, we bought it. And I was like, really? This looks like macaroni salad you make at home. Like,
whoops.
Like, it was all chunky and the mayonnaise was all thick. And it was just something that didn't look professional. You know what I mean? So how long have you been in this whole acting thing, dude?
On and off for a long time. It's I feel like now I'm really starting to take off. Yeah, I you know, honestly, as a part of talent, you know, being an actor or just doing anything that you want to do in your life, there's so many pitfalls that come along that whether that be a relationships or family or whatever, that can either build you up or take you down to the ground.
So when did you decide at what point, like, I want to do acting? Were you like a theater guy growing up?
No, I loved movies. Might be a little cliche, but television was the babysitter.
And same thing for me. We actually bonded over like 80s action movies. Yeah, we just would go back and forth like who had the best one-liners.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think we both came to the conclusion might have been Action Jackson when he lights the guy up with a flamethrower. He goes, right. How you like them ribs?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, but go on. So you just out of nowhere, you like movies, and then what?
Yeah, you know, I had tried to do some acting. I'm originally from the Midwest, so I tried to do some stuff out there. And the marketplace, even though it's like probably one of the biggest places for watching, the talent wise, the agencies and things of that nature is just really small.
Where is the Midwest when you say the Midwest?
Right in the middle of the country.
So Missouri?
Yes.
Okay.
Every
time I think of Missouri, I just picture like bison in my head with like
bison
running across the river. Like I'm from Missouri, like a guy with like a straw. It's just like, I have this really stupid, fucking preconception. of Missouri. Like, I just think like the Oregon Trail, right. Like a carriage.
Died of dysentery.
Yeah. Yeah, like Little Women in back of a fucking carriage and on the prairie.
Yeah, no, it's you know, I grew up in a really small town, but I went to college in Columbia. And so we have MU there, you know, and then also Missouri. We just won the Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, dude, did you hear that thing they had on the there was a guy playing sounds that were so loud from Kansas because people were shooting guns.
Oh, wow.
That the weather satellite detected the parties.
Wow, that's
cool. Like, it's like it started changing like the seismic activity of the fucking weather conditions and shit. Like, well, that's,
you know, living in California is one thing, but I tell you, having been from Missouri, sometimes we can be our characters
so
ourselves.
Tell me about Missouri. Is it I knew this one Vietnamese, he's actually one of the funniest guys I've ever met, but he was from East St. Louis.
Oh yeah. Well, he went through some shit, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. He was one of those, like, hustling, fast-talking Vietnamese guys. He would always, like, he was my manager at a cell phone store, and he'd always give me advice, like, hey, man, the guy gave float with him, man. Tie his leg, tell him about the plan, you know, whatever you got to do. If you got to suck a dick, get the sale. Like, he was all fucking hustle, dude. I don't care, man. Get your money, dude. Off of A.C. and Louis, man. We don't fuck around, man. Missouri, man.
All right, that's true. You know, I've lived in a lot of places. I lived in New York and Brooklyn and been through a lot of places in Kansas City and such. And East St. Louis, whew.
I had a guy who said it made Compton look like a walk in the park.
Yeah, well, depending on what year, I guess. But
like, why is it so bad?
I don't know.
It's like,
I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Is it a lot of gangs and violence? And,
you know, it's just hard, I guess. But I guess it's hard anywhere.
Is it like really low poverty? Did you live in the hood?
I did not. I didn't live in St. Louis. It's just, yeah. I used to go and party up in St. Louis all the time. And you could go in places, but there's some places, just like anywhere, I guess, though. You just should probably stay out of those places.
Yeah. So, okay. So you just fucking decided, like, Kevin Costner and like, oh, I'm going to go out west and build my dreams and shit.
Yeah,
like,
first, I went east. You know, I went to New York first.
Okay.
I lived up in New York. And
so what are we doing? What are we doing in New York? We're just figuring shit out. We're working.
Yeah. You know, I was late on figuring it out. And so, or starting.
What were you doing in New York? Were you working in the restaurant?
No, I wasn't. I worked at a place called Century 21.
Dude, I fucking remember that place. Yeah. When I moved to New York, I lived there for a short period of time, but I was such an asshole. Like, I went there during winter with no coat. I learned right away, like, you know, you have to have a coat. So I got a coat from Century 21, man. They had, like, it's like a fucking Forever 21, or
it's
like
a huge store. And now the one I worked on, because there's multiple stores,
and it's right next to Ground Zero.
Yeah, the one that I worked on was right next to Ground Zero.
Were you around during 9/11 then?
No.
Okay.
No. I was there though when they were building the Freedom Towers. They had these huge windows that you could look out from the men's coat section, mm-hmm. and you could watch them daily building the Freedom Towers. It was very beautiful.
That's cool. So then you go to New York, you do that, then yeah. What? Now we're in California.
Yeah. New York didn't work out for me. I tell you, the hustle in New York, even though California has its own hustle, it's completely different.
The hustle in New York's crazy.
It's real.
It's real, so rough. I remember I went on these job interviews while I was living there, and first thing I sit down, it's like two guys. Like, it felt like one of those interrogation rooms. Like, there's an ashtray with a cigarette.
Somebody shuts the door behind
you. Oh, yeah. And the guy's quiet. Like, you got 20 seconds to sell me this pen.
Right.
And I'm like,
you might not make it.
You can write with it. You can. He's like, not good enough. Like, they were just like, really, how are you going to sell if you can't even sell me this pen? I'm like, I don't know, dude. I don't think I'd ever fucking just sell a pen. Like. But it was that, like, New York hustle. Like, you're in the city. We're in the big ass. And it's like, right. Dude, I'm from Cali, bro. I don't need all that fucking Joe Pesci talk, dude.
California, in its own way, is a lot easier. It's still, like, I've made bad decisions where it's been harder on me. But as a energy, It's a lot more laid back.
So when you came down here, mm-hmm. is it just kind of like, did acting stumble upon you?
No, I came out here specifically for acting. But then everybody has to have their own, you know, day job and so on to get by.
And actually, dude, fucking anyone out there, if you're, you know, anything about anything, Jay works at one of the fucking most popular spots for
Soul Food,
Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Yeah.
Oh man, like I don't know. Like when I heard that, I was like, "Oh yeah," because that the food there is so fucking good, man.
Depending on the location, yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah, so you probably saw, and he has some crazy stories because he gets to meet a lot of like famous people from the black community. And like, I remember you were telling me, like, the game was a shitty tipper. Like, who is a good tipper? Was a shitty tipper?
Oh, you know, I've had a lot of celebrities come through, and. Mayweather, of course, is always a well tipper.
I mean, Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, he's always, like, personally, he's always been a nice guy, super nice guy.
How much does he tip with all that?
You know, there's multiple servers that help him out usually because he comes in with his entourage.
So what is he tipping, like $500?
Over everybody, probably, because he tips each server like $100 usually.
Damn.
So, yeah, I mean, he personally, in my opinion, he doesn't ask for a lot himself when it comes to some of the people in his entourage.
Oh, those are always the knuckleheads.
Little different of story, but normally really good. And his bodyguards have always been very, very polite, too. Right.
Okay, so who else? Floyd Mayweather?
Man, I've served a lot of people. Jackson.
Kobe Bryant?
I never did.
R.I.P.
No.
Kobe.
Mike Tyson, Jesse Jackson.
How's Mike Tyson? Before or after the barbed wire tattoo?
I think after. I didn't really talk to him much. He wasn't much of a talker, but I mean, he tipped, and I heard that was not something that he normally does. I don't know if that's true or not. But
oh, wait, he doesn't tip usually?
I multiple servers had told me that. But he was nothing but kind to me, so.
Did he tip?
Yeah, he tipped.
Was it a cheapy tip?
Well, I heard he was broke, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, he probably is broke.
But I also had Busta Rhymes and his.
Is he broke?
I don't know. I mean, I think he.
Because all these guys are like, what are they doing? I mean, are they broke? Or?
Yeah, I don't know, but.
Did he tip good? Was it like, let me get some out? Like.
No, he wasn't much of a talker either. I think one of his
syrup
on
my eyes could see.
I think one of
if
his.
If you really want to eat with me,
crew paid for it all, you know. So
how about DMX? You get DMX.
I never saw him. I served O'Shea Jackson, Ice Cube son, a few times.
Okay, you said he was cool.
Super cool.
Samuel Jackson.
No, I've never. No. I would love to meet Samuel Jackson. But
Denzel pop in there?
You know, I heard that he came in on our Pico store with his family and was just really cool.
You know, I want the cock. I can't do an impersonation of him. I'm trying to do him in the Equalizer and it's bad. But damn, that's cool. So yeah. Did a lot of that inspire you like to act more because of seeing these fucking actors and rappers?
It just—I mean, if anything, it just reminded me which direction I need to go and to keep my hustle and my energy real, you know, because it could go either way. You could be a part of something, or you could just—I don't want to be like just serving people for the rest of my life. I want to do something that's going to matter to me.
Well, the truth is, when you come here, you always got to have the side hustle until the hustle takes over, right?
Absolutely.
So you need something to keep the lights on. I mean, that's how comedy works. I'm just, for me, it's up and down. Right now, I'm up. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say, like, comedy and, you know, giving skateboarding lessons, it's carrying my weight. But, you know, we're in the industry of like, you have to put in the work on your own.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, where you just clock in and you start getting paid. Like, you got to send emails. You got to update this. You got to send
this.
It's a business. And it's even more hard of it because you have, I mean, you're just going in there, like, talking and looking and, like, you're not really. Like, it's not like a job where you have to go, like, serve something to people and there's money. Like, they're picking you for these, huge fucking roles.
Right.
That are basically, it's like, yeah, you put in the work, but it's a payday, dude. Mm-hmm. So could you just imagine how, you know, fierce the competition is? Like, you go to these auditions and it's like the first thing you notice, like, everyone's so fucking beautiful. Everyone's so good looking. And
which doesn't always translate. You would think, and I think there was a point in my life where I thought, oh, well, they're better looking. They're more physically fit or whatever. They'll get the job. That's not always the case with acting, because it has a lot of factors that have to deal with it. I mean, first, you know, you have to have the talent when you're walking in there. And then if you have the talent and you do your performance, then it's just about a numbers game. I mean, because there could be 1,000 people that send in for the audition. They narrow it down to you know, 100 people. And now those 100 people, they pick, you know, however many to come in. And then out of those however many they came in, they pick one or two people. So it's right. Like, not always about you.
So right now you're working on a feature film, you said?
I am.
A lead role?
A lead role.
No way.
Period piece.
So you're talking through the whole thing?
Yes.
What do you mean by a period piece? Like what year?
It's set between two different time periods. It starts off in the 40s and then it ends up in the later 50s. So my character goes through a traumatic event and then things happen, and it's basically in a revenge movie.
Oh, wow. So how long have you been filming that?
This whole month, it's been a really great experience. I've met a lot of very talented people and a brilliant director. So I'm very happy to just be a part of the project.
That's cool, man. Is there anything in the pipeline commercial-wise or?
Commercial-wise, I don't know. I'm just like really right now just working on things to get my face out there more, because I feel like,
why don't you do porn?
I say my face.
Yeah. If you did porn, would that ruin like all the chances?
They would completely change everything.
Really?
It's so like doing reality.
So like if like you're trying to get this like huge role and then someone pulls you up on Pornhub, would that cost you your career?
Oh, I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, like they don't want you being associated with the company like that, right?
Right. Well, that too, and just the fact is, I don't think that like people when they see, and maybe I'm wrong because I haven't watched porn in forever, but I would just think it's like somewhat of reality shows where even though they might hire you for some things, the way that they look at you might be a little skewed.
Right. How's the resume looking so far? You got an IMDb?
Yeah.
IMDb?
Yeah, IMDb, absolutely. J-A-Y, D as in Delta, and then
Henderson. What's your rating?
I don't know right now. I checked, I looked at it, but I can't remember what it was. I know it's up right now.
How about a Getty's Images? You got one of those up?
No.
What is so special about Getty Images?
I have no idea.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
I know of it, but I don't know what
it's always about. Like a star, and then it'll be like Getty's Images.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Asking the wrong person.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, dude. Yeah, as for me, man, I, you know, I'm not, I wouldn't say that, like, I'm trying to be, like, an actor or anything, because I'm way more into comedy, but...
And everything you put up looks funny. I mean, it's funny, like some of the things I've seen you say on like Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, I've just been on a roll, and you know, I would like to just ultimately like do what every comedian does, is just cross over as themselves. You know, it's like, but it's just insane how you think the amount of comedians like who made it. Like Jamie Foxx was a stand-up comic, Monique, they both have Oscar awards. Like, you know, a lot of these people use stand-up as that vehicle to get into the industry. And,
you know, not only that, but like the YouTube channels and such now, with not only the comedians, but everybody else that has their own
YouTube thing,
their channels. Yeah, they're, you know, the people.
Obviously, I think majority of people are on YouTube right now, huh? Watching YouTube more than anything.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of television I don't even watch anymore. You know, unless it's streaming, I just don't. I only have cable, so.
So when you're not acting, do you study it? Do you watch movies? Do you?
Yes, I mean, there's times where I watch movies just as downtime and just let me enjoy the movie, and then other times I dissect it in its own way. And just really say, okay, I see what they're saying, see what they're doing here, and from a breaking it down point of view and understanding, you know, who the character is and how they might have went through that process in order to get to how.
Did you read Uta Hagen?
I haven't. I did 2 years of Meisner though.
Who is it?
I did 2 years of Meisner at this school called Joanne Baron and D.W. Brown. And so I learned a lot from that school.
You did 2 years. Where's that at?
It's in Santa Monica.
And you learned a lot? Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, there's no way you couldn't.
Does it really help a lot?
Absolutely. You know, not just as an actor, but as a person. Because you break down barriers
with yourself,
yeah, and you begin a trust with the class that you have. It's a closed class, so it's not like just any random person can come in and.
So
and
they have watch. To select you.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, a closed class is meaning people can come watch your scenes.
No, it's only the people that are in your class can watch your scenes. Now, if you're not part of the school, I mean, just someone can't walk in one day and come in and watch you. They have to be part of the school. So I've been in workshops and stuff before where you can just go into a workshop or, you know, an audition class and just watch people do whatever they want to do. But this was you had to be part of the school for the full time to.
Dude, you know what I threw on the other day? And I was like. It just came on Hulu, Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah. Roadhouse.
My God. The scenes in that movie were just so out there. They were so ridiculous to go back and watch that. We're like, what kind of bar is that? Where guys are just like fondling women's breasts. Like, you want some?
$20.
And like, yeah, was it? The scene is like $20. Like, he grabs it. Okay, he goes.
Didn't he even grab
it? Yeah, he does. So there's a scene where he's like fondling this girl's breasts. He's like, you want to feel them? And the guy's like, sure. And he's like, and the guy's like, $20. Right. So the dude starts feeling them. And he's like, where's my money? He's like, I don't have the money. And they just start beating his ass in the middle of the bar.
Such a ridiculous. Like,
and it's like the boss is scared of his employees. It's like it's a weird fucking. It's just like, God, that era, that genre of movie.
Yeah.
It's like now it could only be a parody. Like you couldn't make a movie like that and be serious.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that the actors that were reading that got to that point and was like,
they had to be real? Like, you think like while they're filming it, like they were doing all that shit about you and your acting classes. Like, what was the character's thought before he grabs a breast?
You know, like, honestly, that's probably one of those things that they just threw in. They're like, hey, we need another scene. What can start a bar fight? Well, I don't know. Grabbing somebody's breast. That'll do it.
And it was just like the most savage. Like, when have you ever gone to a bar where like a guy pulls out a switchblade and then there's a guy, you know, like, where's the cops? Where's the,
yeah, you know, small town USA, I guess.
Every chick's like smoking hot and like, oh, we're going upstairs with Billy. And like, man, what would you say is your favorite action hero movie of all time?
Oh, man. Tough question. That's, you know, 80s had a lot of great, great movies, action hero movies for its time. And I think they've changed in a lot of different ways. We don't see, and that I can think of, in the same way. But yeah, back in the 80s, we, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Die Hard with Bruce Willis,
Dude, my guy was I was all about Van Damme, dude.
Oh yeah, yeah. Cyborg, Bloodsport, some good stuff.
Fucking Double Impact.
Oh yeah.
There's two of them. Remember? They start arguing on the boat. Tell me the truth. You took her sailing. You fucked her, didn't you? Fucked her, Alex.
Oh man. That was dude. I loved when he would say stuff like that. Well, the one where he had
my brother is paralyzed because of Tang Po.
Oh yeah. Tang Po. Yeah, he's like hey, did you mess with her? Mylene, good fuck. Oh my gosh, what?
Remember it, like Bloodsport with the Saudi Arabian guy? He's like, if I flip the coin, it rears if and the heads hell or whatever. How did it go? He's like,
I don't know.
What is bet? If I flip the coin in the it flips tail, the girl is mine. If it gets head, the girl is yours. And he flips it, like, literally, like, mid fucking, like, you don't see his hand grab the quarter, and the guy's like, what? And Van Damme's holding it, looking for this.
Shit.
Like, he's so fast that, like, we can't even see him grab the fucking coin. It was just so, God, you have to have that 80s, like, environment, for it to be funny.
Right. Right now, if you're right, it completely
like now it's like Fast satire. And the Furious, and it's like it's, but it's not. It's fucking cool and interesting, yeah, I guess.
In some way, absolutely.
But it's not like classic.
No,
you'll never be like Fast and Furious 3. No, it's not classic.
You gotta watch that in film class.
Classic is fucking Commando. Classic is Predator in the mud. Come on, kill me. Come on, kill me.
I'm here, do it.
Fuck, dude. Just so many good 80s action movies.
Yeah, Aliens, Predator.
Predator, Commando.
Oh, man.
What I love, too, about a lot of the 80s were the unnecessary scenes. Like, they would just throw scenes that didn't even belong in the movie. Like, in fucking Commando, there's a scene. I don't even know how it ties into the story, but he's like one of the villains. He follows this chick to her car.
Oh, right, right.
And he's like, hey, baby. You want to fuck her? I forgot what he says, right?
Yeah,
he wants to take her out. She's like, get lost, loser. And he's like, fucking whore. And right. Then it just goes into the scene back into like Arnold and like fucking the jungles. They're like, what? Why was that put in there?
Yeah, it's that was Radon Chung, right?
Yeah, it was just, oh man. What else was there, dude? Old Arnold, man.
But it was funny because he says, I'm trying to think of that guy, I forgot the actor's name, but he was in a lot of different movies back then, Warriors and Dreamscape and Tully, I think, right? He's like, remember what I told you, I'd kill you last. And he's like, that's right. That's right, Matrix. You told me that.
What movie is this?
This is that Commando.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He said, I lied, and he drops him. What happened to him? I forget what he said.
Stico Ron throws a dagger at the dude's head.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
Breaks the dude's neck on the plane. Is your friend okay? Sorry about my friend. He's dead tired.
Yes.
Shut up. Like, he's just dead on the plane. Like,
right.
Oh, man.
No one notices the whole
time. He's just sleeping, like, Weekend at Bernie's.
That guy's purple. You might check on it.
One of my favorite movies is Bloodsport. No, and Kickboxer.
Oh, yeah.
So Kickboxer, one of my favorite scenes is the guy takes Van Damme to a bar and gets them all drunk.
Right.
And he starts talking shit to all these, like, hoodlums, like, that shit that Van Damme said about him. So they all attack him, but he's, like, drunk dancing and, like, beating all their asses.
Great time.
So I don't understand. Why do those guys try to hurt me? I tell them you fuck mother's gold.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude. Why don't you try to be like an action hero move? Like, have you thought of that? Are you trying to get into some more serious shit? Are you more like, what do you like?
Lately it's just been dramas and, comedies from here and there. But I enjoy doing dramas.
You're more dramatic or what? Are you more, you're serious, pretty serious guy? Or
In film, I like to be serious, but I also like doing fun stuff too. I mean, I'm not opposed to doing comedy as long as it's in good taste. So
like would you do like a Seth Rogen movie?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah. Do you have like a dream, like, dude that you would want to work for, like a dream director? Like,
oh man, so many. Scorsese would be amazing to work with. James Cameron. I mean, list goes on and on for me. It's just so many great directors out there, and so many new and upcoming directors that are just really surprising. Like, a lot of companies too. I mean, the A24 company, like almost every movie I've seen that they've come out with
is pretty good.
Oh, really, really good.
Yeah. Do you watch a lot of do you watch a lot of Netflix and keep in date?
I try to. I mean, I've been pretty busy lately, but I try to watch Netflix and things of that nature from time to time. And
any new shows that you recommend?
Let me think.
I tried doing Mindhunters. I did about a season. I can't commit to shows. Like I did Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. That's not one I've seen yet, but everybody's like, what? Well, you have to see that show. It's so good. I do want to see it. I was a fan of Mindhunter. I like Mindhunter a lot. That's a director I'd like to work with.
Is that season over?
It's done two seasons.
Yeah, you fuck with Narcos?
I have watched Narcos. I love the new
I'm watching.
Only seen like an episode of it, but yeah, I'm still a fan. Just the way the format of the show goes is,
yeah,
it's good.
Definitely one of my best, my better. Would you, in the end, like, are you trying to, you want, like, what's your goal in this whole game? Like,
to just do this full time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it's pretty much happening for you now?
It's starting. Yeah, I did a play with Don Welch for the second time this year, and
who's Don Welch?
He's a really
he made Welch's Grave.
No, he's really, really talented writer.
Okay,
and he does plays.
And any like thing we've heard of that he's wrote?
Like what I did with him was a Change Is Gonna Come.
Okay,
and
a Change Is Gonna, is it a song?
Well, it has the song from. Oh my gosh, going blank now. Lord.
It's all right. It's been a long day. Don't worry about it. But anyways, go on.
Yeah, well, anyhow, he is like, man, you read some things from people, like their stories. Mm-hmm. And some have been like that I've read for like for casting or whatever. I'm like, yeah, that's all right. And then others are terrible. But everything Don's wrote has been like.
You did a play recently.
Yeah.
Like, where was this play at?
It's at the Wilshire E-Bell.
Okay. Yeah. And how did it do? Did it sell out? Oh,
it's amazing. It's not only a talented crew and cast, but also, the crowd itself.
Was all on it?
Oh, it's so much fun.
Did you get a lead in it?
Yeah, I was one of the leads. It was a small cast, though.
Do you like theater? Like, it must be kind of like how stand-up is, like, theater as opposed to like acting. It's way different when it's live.
Completely different. And
is it harder?
Is
theater harder?
I wouldn't
say
harder, but you need to know what you're doing before you go in.
You can't fuck up either.
No, it's live. So
I remember growing up. So my sister was really into like theater. And then she would be in these, like, she would produce these like hardcore plays in SF. And she would always invite the family to go see her. But these weren't like, you know, those, like, it wasn't like these plays had like an NC-17 rating.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay, so this one time she invites us to go see this play, and she's playing like an Indian, and it's supposed to expose like Columbus, and like, it was like the bad Columbus, like the true story, right? So she's eating on the little prairie, she has her little... And the next thing you know, it's like eight guys just kind of creep up on her. And then it turns into this like really brutal rape scene.
Wow.
Where she's screaming and they're like, let me get at her, mate. And like, I'm looking over at my mom and my mom's like, she's like, I don't understand what they do.
Oh,
so wow. Then my dad is just like, see, my dad is not a guy you want to take to plays.
Because he's sleeping.
Oh, he fucking passes out. And the thing is, you can snore in a theater. But at the play, you're fucking up the play for everyone.
You're hearing it.
So there would be like, she's getting, she's hearing it. You just get ready to, like, no, just mid snore during the play, right? And it got so bad where my mom and me had to, like, shake him because, you know, he's snoring really loud and these people are trying to do their lines and my sister's getting raped by, like, 8 fucking wow. guys on stage. And he's, like, not having it. Like, he's, like, you know, he'll, like, wake up and then nod off. Or, like, there were times where, like, he'd tell us to stop, like to let him go back to sleep. Like, this isn't the hotel, dude.
Right.
This is live theater, right? So, I mean, I think everyone kind of caught wind that this guy had just pretty much slept through the first two acts. And the final act comes, right? And, like, the last time I looked over, he was knocked out. And so, finally, the final act comes. The play, everyone comes out to the stage to do the, you know, the whatever. What is it at the end when everyone bows?
Oh, and, right, right, yeah.
So, they all come out. They're bowing. And then, like,
curtain call.
Right? So everyone's on their feet clapping. I look at my dad on his feet. Bravo! Bravo! Oh, man. Beautiful performance.
He should be an actor.
I like it. Oh, man. And he's just going back there like we go to our dressing room. Oh, first class before. Oh, my God. I thought I was watching a Wasco, a Wolf Weenie movie. Oh, my. I was like, do you even see it, dude? She just got raped. I was kind of glad that he didn't see it because it was very uncomfortable. Man. For everyone, and it was just like, I don't know. I don't like to involve my parents with, like, entertainment shit. Although, I think it's going to come down to that point where my dad's going to come out and see my show. Because the first time my dad ever came and saw me do comedy, I was not on good terms with him. Mm. And my mom dragged him out. And they fucking, like, ambushed me.
Wow.
So it was in the middle of, like, this domestic violence bit where I compared my dad to an action hero because when he used to fight with my mom, I would have him do, like, shit to my mom, like kick her into a refrigerator, chill out.
Oh, shit.
You know, like, but the joke was about how they would fight and how crazy he would get. So could you just imagine, like, you know, my dad in the back watching me, like, basically pander him.
Wow.
He, dude, so mid-set, walks up and leaves.
Oh, man.
Right?
Brutal.
And you could only imagine what that did to my energy.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, whoa, I meet you in car. I'm not lying. And I know he wasn't too happy with it, dude. It was a really awkward breakfast the next morning. But now, ironically, he's like the number one fan. Mm-hmm. I think he knows that... I do talk about him, so he'll do like a little extra around me. Like,
yeah,
just
he wants you to bring him up.
Oh now. Yeah, he'll do like dumb dad. Oh, why can't the Mexican eat a lot of beans? I was like, why do Mexican people eat a lot of beans? I was like, I don't know that. Let on free bubble bath, you know, like.
Oh man,
I was like, what racist popsicle did you fucking read that from?
Have you ever seen Punchline with Tom Hanks? There's a moment where he thinks. He's being told by his manager that someone's coming in to see him. Someone's coming in to see him, and he thinks it's an agent or somebody that's going to pick him up. He's really excited. And like
it's his dad, right?
It's his dad and his brother.
Oh no, I haven't seen that. Is that on Hulu?
I'm not sure, but they're both doctors, and they're against him. You know, doing the stand that's below their standards for this whole stand-up thing, and so when he sees him, he just. Like loses his bit, just completely drains him of the energy.
I need to watch that.
But going back to being on stage, it's so different from acting on film. And in some ways, I love that too, because in film, you have a preconceived idea of how you're going to say something and how it's going to be internalized or recognized or how it goes from then on. But on stage, especially doing these kind of plays, the audience is like being at the Apollo. So you're right. Getting immediate feedback and you never know. You could say something.
Can you bomb a play like the way a comedian can like bomb?
I guess you could. But for me, I mean, with any acting, you know, you do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and you still try to hold true to it being the, in your mind, how you deliver it, being it the first time in a real, organically felt and experienced. And so, when you're saying these things up on stage, and you think, oh, well, this part will be really funny, and it's not so funny, and then you say something else,
okay,
and it's like really funny, like the audience laughs and crazy about it, and you're like, what, that's funny? And it can change how you do the rest of your play in sometimes in great ways, because then it's all organic. You know what you're going to say.
Do they get mad, like your other co-people, when you're like improv-ing and shit? Do they not like that?
You know, words-wise on a play, I've never changed. I've never improvised in a play. Now, film I have. And
film is a little more loose.
Yeah, more lenient to it.
Yeah, whatever would feel better.
Unless you're doing something Shakespearean. I mean, it seems like you have a little bit more room.
Now, do you do Shakespeare shit, too?
I did some.
Let me see a Hamlet monologue.
I can't tell you any right now.
You don't. You have a monologue like.
I've done some Iago.
Can you do like a 1 minute monologue right now?
Oh.
I'm a casting director, and yeah. I need you to. I need a dramatic monologue. 1 minute.
I'm sure I could, but I can't even really think of anything.
Dude, I remember having to memorize those. I took acting class for four. Yeah. And honestly, not my strength. Improv, not my strength. I love comedy because I got to control it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm the guy who does it. But in improv, you have to depend on other people.
Right.
And then in theater, I mean, in acting, it's you can't be yourself.
Yeah.
You have to completely let go of the ego, right? Like, you have to become...
Oh, yeah.
And that part, I couldn't...
Parts of yourself you can still be.
I was very... I'm, like, not good at pretending. Like, I'm so, like... I always get auditions where they tell you to be real and say something real, and then I'll get those. But when you go on those, like, get in the car, pretend to look around, and you see a sunset. Now, drive. Like, I fucking am bad. Is that a skill they teach you at that acting shit? Like, how to do good commercial auditions?
I've been in classes that do that, but to me, I have such an imagination. I have a pretty wild imagination.
So you do pretty good at auditions normally? Like, you like...
I've had a lot of bad auditions, but, you know, I've had some great ones, too. And I've had some ones where I thought, oh, they loved me, they were laughing, I'm getting a call back.
Those are the ones you never get.
And I haven't.
It's like that guy who, like, nice to see you at my wedding, right?
Right.
When you think you have it, you don't have it.
Right.
It's always that one's like, fuck that audition. And then you get the call.
I've had some of those too. I've had some where it's like.
Have you ever walked in? I've had one where I walked in and I knew I got it. Like, just the energy I gave off.
Yeah, I felt like.
And I got the call. Like, one I remember was an open call, Asian audition, right? Asian people, like, I don't know if you know, like, if there's something that's, like, open, like, we're like March of the Penguins. Like, we all flock to one thing, right? So, like, this audition dude went around the block. Like,
wow.
Everyone was trying to get, because it was for HP, and it was, like, a lot of money. So keep in mind, everyone's like hella typical, you know, everyone was like very like basic, and you had to go in with a talent. I was actually the only skater.
Hmm.
So I walked in, they wanted to shoot a photo of something you did. I don't know what it was, but I did like some like corny hand plant, and I had so much fun just trying to do it. I like laughed, and they caught this like perfect smile on my face. And they called me and they're like, we just knew at that moment you got
right.
it. And I just felt so good because I like walk by like a bunch of people in the industry that, you know, my agent sent me down, people that were doing things, and I just skated out of there like with the audition, like, you know.
That's the thing though, is you just never know what they're looking for. Sometimes they don't know what they're looking for. Some casting directors know exactly what they want in a character, and then the other characters in the commercials or whatever, I mean, they're looking. They're like, we have an idea of what we want, but... You know, if something surprises us, then yeah, we're waiting for it. We want to see something different because we have to sit here and watch 100 people say the same thing over and over.
How much are you booking? Like average? Are you constantly booking shit?
Well, right now I am.
So you're on fire right now.
Right now, yeah. It's
any new commercials from the one we did?
No, I you know, things happen for a reason, I guess. I had momentarily lost the agency I was with, because I was in a relationship, a toxic relationship with, from both ends, I guess.
Yeah. So this guy was in a really toxic relationship when we were talking on set.
It just, you know, it was both of us. We weren't working out. We were not good together, but, we were both acting at the time and, we're both the same agency. And so,
so they just were like, let's just drop them as a couple.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Because
that's weird.
No. Well, let me explain. She kept texting them and about our situation and I was against it, you know, but,
you shouldn't put your private shit out like that.
Right. Right. I try to explain to her, it is a business. And so anyhow, they dropped us both, but,
do you have a new agent now?
Oh, things worked out. And so now I'm, I got this agency that's ready to
theatrical,
across the board.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm excited and excited to really start working out there again. Plus I'm getting people, you know, now that I'm filming, this feature,
do you have a fuck scene in it?
No.
How about like, any like cool, like actions? You shoot anyone up or,
I do shoot a couple people. And then people are shot too. So,
dude, I have to tell you this one time, right? I got this principal role on a show on Channel 7, and it was it was short lived, but it was called Flash Forward, and it was Joseph Fiennes and John Cho.
Huh.
So I don't know where I lied on my resume, where I said I was a stunt guy. They put me in as stunt guy, dude.
Nice.
So now I'm with a bunch of stunt guys, and they're talking stunt shit.
Uh huh.
Oh, where'd you train? And I'm like sitting there like a guy at a bad poker game. Like I didn't really train. I just, my agent put me here. So the respect is out the door.
Oh man.
They're already like talking over me. Oh, this guy's a fucking tool. And I was just so nervous because it was kind of like a big role and I wasn't used to being like, I was always used to being background. So like to have this role where I actually got like a bunch of FaceTime and there's this one scene, right, where, like, I guess we're running in the rain. We all have our guns drawn. We're going after the dude, you know. And I'm principal, so I don't really have – I'm not supposed to talk. I'm just running with the guys. I don't know where I got the fucking courage or, like, what weed I was smoking that day. But I just, like, at one scene was, like, improvising, like, get the fuck out of the car. Oh, don't move. I'll shoot. Like, just saying shit, like – and there was a non-talking scene for anyone, right?
Oh, wow.
Director yells cut. And they're like, who paid this guy to talk? Like,
wow.
Like, it was like, you don't have a speaking role, dude. And I was like, oh, sorry. And it was just so embarrassing, right? The stunt guys are shaking their heads. He's not with us. But it was just like, fuck, dude. It was really cool to see these guys that I watched on movies, like Harold and Kumar and Joseph Fiennes, like, you know, we're all in the same area and like, I could see them going over their lines and they're punching each other back and forth. And it was like, I was in the fucking mix. Mm-hmm. Like I was with them and I was seeing that process. And it was like a cool experience. Cause you know, like I've done a bunch of like YouTubes and commercial stuff, but that was actually my first like actual, like legit kind of movie thing, like movie and seeing these people and working with them. So yeah, it's definitely a rush, man. It's definitely maybe I don't know. Maybe I'll try to give the acting thing a go again.
Yeah, it's an extension of a personality. So
it's just weird because like now my hair is long and I have to update my headshots, or I just cut my hair and go back to my old headshots.
Have both. Get new headshots.
Yeah, maybe it's time to change things up. But, dude, I want to thank you for coming in, donating your time.
Absolutely.
You can find what on Instagram?
Yeah. Yeah.
JD Henderson.
Uh-huh.
What's the name of the film?
It's called, Hollywood Holiday.
Hollywood Holiday. Okay.
Yeah. It's still being shot. It's almost finished, But yeah. So
Would they be able to catch that anywhere? Like,
yeah, hopefully.
Are they selling? Do they, is it a pilot or are they?
It's going to be a feature in there. I believe there's it's going to be seen over in China, but then going from there. So
you think the people will, with the coronavirus, will watch it?
Yeah, I'm sure.
They probably have nothing else better to do than to watch that movie in the fucking quarantine bag. But cool, guys. I have an exciting announcement. I have a pretty filled weekend next week. I'm going to be at the 24L Bar in Hawthorne on Thursday. That is going to be an awesome show. You can go on my Instagram and try to get tickets. We got a lot of great comedians on that. Jesus Trejo headlining. He is a Comedy Store guy. He opens up for Steve-O. Friday, I'm going to be at this thing called in Boyle Heights at the Boyle Heights History Studio and Tours for my friend Tanya. Shout out Tanya Estrada. Firme Friday. I'm the token Asian guy that gets put on all the Hispanic shows. And then Saturday, I'm going to be at apartment 509 for the crazy woke Asian coronavirus benefit. I don't know who the fuck is going to benefit from a coronavirus show. Like, I'll be so pissed if I do it and I go home and I start like coughing, because I'm gonna be like, who the hell would I don't know. It doesn't, well, I guess they're gonna raise money for the coronavirus, but if you guys go, make sure you get fucking quarantined before you show up, dude, or we're all gonna get infected. And then I'm gonna infect Jay, and then Jay won't be able to fucking do movies anymore. Which I think is all bullshit anyways, because I heard it was just like a fucking flu. Like, there's Americans. Have you seen the ones that are infected? We're infected. Like, what? They don't look infected for anything. Like, I don't know. It's a weird one. I think that the Illuminati were in a smoke-filled room, and they're going over all the races, and they're like, all right, after Awkwafina won the Golden, all right, that's enough. Release the coronavirus, and we're going to call it Corona so people can look down on Hispanics too. And then that's how that happened.
All the Resident Evil, don't they all start over there anyhow?
Yeah, dude. It's just, it's weird. But it seems like the tolls have been, I heard it's slowing down.
Yeah, it's good.
It's definitely slowing down. But yes, dude. So with that being said, check out my boy's movie, Hollywood, what was it again?
Hollywood Holiday.
Hollywood Holiday. Check out his IMDb. Follow him on Instagram. Just don't follow him in real life, because that would be creepy. And on that note, we are out. Peace, bitches. Have a good night, and we'll talk soon. Bye. Chill, huh?
That's cool.
I'll die pretty fast.
Yeah.